Hans Peter Wilhelm Kerkeling, Hoppy for short, has been making Germans laugh for almost 40 years now. He's a popular TV presenter, best known for his satirical characters, including an aging Schlager singer, an observant preschooler, and, especially as an overly familiar journalist, Horst Schlammer, who even ran a mock campaign for chancellor back in 2009 on the slogan, "Yes, we can." That's also when Hoppe joined us on Travel with Rick Steves, when the English translation of his book, I'm Off Then, came out. A few years earlier, overworked and overweight, some health issues caused Hoppe to take time out from spoofing German society. A book about the Camino de Santiago made it sound like just the ticket. When Hoppe was with us, I asked him to start at the end by quoting what he had concluded after more than a month on the trail.
"The Creator tosses us into the air and then, to our happy amazement, catches us again at just the right moment. It is like the spirited game parents play with their children. The message is, have faith in the one who's tossing you because he loves you and will quite unexpectedly be the one to catch you too. And when I think back on all that has happened along the way, I realize that God kept tossing me into the air and catching me again. We encountered each other every single day."
I understand you're quite a edgy, crass comedian on TV, and you finish a book with something so spiritual and so deep. This journey that people are making is quite a powerful experience. Tell us, Hoppe, how many days, how many kilometers, what was the basic parameters of your journey?
Well, it took me about 4 weeks, 4.5 weeks for the 500 miles. And to tell you the truth, Rick, I didn't walk all the way. I once took a bus, I once hiked, but let's say the last 330 miles of the way, I really kept on going just with my backpack. And I did it because I needed to recover from a gallbladder removal, which I had before, and I thought it would be a good idea not to go on a normal vacation and just reflect about my life and what I had done until that very point. And so I decided to go on the Camino de Santiago, which is the old pilgrim's route in Europe.
Now, you went alone. Talk about being alone in the vastness of Northwest Spain.
Well, at the very beginning, that was very hard because I didn't think that the biggest obstacle I would come across on the street would be me. You have to deal a lot with yourself. And it took me some time, at least 2 weeks, to get along with myself and feel at ease.
In fact, you mentioned in your book, Hoppe, that each day was sort of structured like the entire pilgrimage itself. What did you mean by that?
It felt as if I didn't do just one pilgrimage, but 1,000 pilgrimages in 6 weeks. Because every day kind of had the same structure. You have to get up and struggle, find your pace, find your rhythm. Then you're on the way, then you get tired. Even though every day is different from the other one, there is a certain pattern that repeats itself every day. And I believe that these patterns can also be found in our very lives.
Now, in your book, you made a point to have an insight of the day every day.
To tell you the truth, Rick, I didn't think about it when I was writing my diary on the trip, because I simply kept the diary for one reason, because my guide told me to do so. It was written that it might be quite boring also, and you might feel lonely. So the only communication I had was with my diary. So this is why I kept the diary. And when I was rewriting it before it was published, I kind of realized that there was an essence of the day every day. So I tried to figure out what was the essence. And in fact, there was a lesson learned every day.
Hoppe, you mentioned you cheated. I mean, a lot of people are purist about this. You know, they've got to walk the whole way and they stay in these very rustic huts along the way. You were staying in nice hotels and catching a train here and there. Did that take away from the validity of the experience for you?
I don't think so. I do know that Orthodox pilgrims might think that the cheating is not okay, but you have to do the last 90 miles to have done the pilgrimage. So I think it's okay. And as I was quite exhausted when I started the Camino, and I'm overweight, I was then and I'm still now, so it took me some effort to get myself on the way. So I thought after 6 hours or 8 hours of heavy walking, I wouldn't have to sleep in these sleeping rooms with 25 people and one shower and one toilet. So I decided to sleep in a bed and breakfast and encounter the other pilgrims during the day during my pilgrimage. That was my way of doing it. And as I believe that everyone should be, well, his own individual, so that was my way of being individual.
Well, that makes sense. You've sort of proven that you don't need to be a great hiker to do this trip, apparently.
To tell you the truth, I was quite astonished that you don't have to be that well trained to do it. The only thing that counted for me was your spirit towards the thing. And as this spirit grew by doing the walking, I realized that it's more important to be in the right mood to just face the walk.
Now, you know, that spirit is really impressive. I was there a couple of months ago. I was touring. I wasn't doing the Camino. But I would cross these pilgrims. And anybody with a backpack, I would say, I bet they're a pilgrim. And I'd look behind them and they'd have one of those scallop shells of St. James jangling on their back. What was your gear? Did you have the traditional staff and shell and all that?
Well, of course, I did have the shell and I had the backpack and realized after a couple of days that I had brought too many things with me. You have to change your clothes every day and that's it. So you need two shirts maybe and that's it. And I brought too many things with me. So what I did, I threw away a couple of things to make my backpack less heavy. So when you go there, bring just the essentials and that's it.
Part of the whole experience is proving that you don't need all the material comforts, I suppose.
Absolutely. And it's also kind of a feeling of freedom if there is only the essentials and all the rest lacks, because it gives you a feeling of great, well, self-confidence and you feel at ease with just the essentials.
I'm speaking with Hape Kerkeling, author of I'm Off Then, Losing and Finding Myself on the Camino de Santiago. It's been a huge hit in Germany, and now it's available in English for travelers in the United States. I imagine Chaucer did a pilgrimage similar to what you did back in the Middle Ages, and he met a whole series of people fascinating enough to write his Canterbury Tales. Did you meet interesting people along the way that sort of carbonated the experience?
Well, what makes the way so interesting is that it's not a normal walk, so you won't encounter normal tourists, but pilgrims, and they're searching for something. And it doesn't matter whether they are atheists, because there are also pilgrims not believing in God, Buddhists, Catholics, or whatever. Everyone is searching for something. So when you meet these people in the loneliness of the scenery, you can immediately talk to them in depth. And that is really what it makes so special. And so every day you have weird encounters, nice encounters, and you learn lessons you might have never have heard of before. And that was, to me, the most amazing and beautiful thing on the way.
So there was an ambience or an atmosphere where people talked about meaningful things because everybody was trying to better understand their lives and their relationship with their creator. Is that the deal?
I think so, because sometimes you walk across the streets and you may think about the essential things of life, what is going to happen, what is going to happen when I die, but you wouldn't dare to talk to strange people about it if you're in the shopping mall. But if you're on the Camino de Santiago, you just can stop a person and say, you know what I'm busy with at the very moment, and they would listen to you and maybe also deliver a good answer.
Wow. So you write in your book, this is a chance to contemplate life's big questions. Everybody's different. You're quite an interesting person. You're a gay comedian, lapsed Catholic, and you're German. Did you?
That's a combination.
Isn't that a
That's
combination?
That's a funny combination. I've never thought about it, but now hearing you say it, it's very funny. I'm not a communist, though.
No, of course not. But I mean, the point is, we all have big questions in our lives, and we can't talk about them at the mall.
Yeah.
You had a one-month opportunity to be free with other people who were free to explore the meaning of life.
Yes, I felt it was quite a luxurious experience. My expectations were very high. I kind of expected to, at the end, find myself completely illuminated and my life changed totally. Of course, this did not happen, but what happens is tiny little things. You find yourself at a certain point in a wheat field and you figure out you have to cry. And at the same time, you're laughing about you don't know what. And you're walking through a process of your own emotions, a catharsis of your own emotions. And that's a very sublime experience and process. And it takes some time before it starts.
You know, I've been wondering, when people struggle to know God, whether it's in a spiritual sense or an organized religious sense, if first you don't need to know yourself. Did you think about that much on your pilgrimage?
At the very beginning, as I told you, I had very high expectations, and I thought, well, I want to find God, but didn't realize that the biggest obstacle between me and God was myself. So I kind of felt that it was necessary to think about my own, let's call it the dark sides or the shadows or things I wouldn't like to think. Well, you know, everybody wants to be the nice guy. You wouldn't call yourself a bad person, but indeed, the truth is everyone has both of it in himself and herself. So I thought it was necessary to ponder about it. And I did. I didn't like the process, though, but it was necessary.
Does God like your sense of humor?
I hope he does. I think he has got, or he, she, it, however you may call him, her, or it, does have a sense of humor. Yeah, I believe so.
Hoppe Kirkling's diary of his six-week-long hike of self-discovery along the Way of St. James Pilgrim Trail in Spain sold millions of copies in Germany, and it was even made into a movie in 2015. In English, Hoppe's book is called I'm Off Then, Losing and Finding Myself on the Camino de Santiago. He's our guest right now on Travel with Rick Steves in an interview from our archives. By the way, the numbers of Camino pilgrims from Europe shot up 20% after Hoppe's book came out. And the amount of hikers on the route has started to rebound in the last year after COVID lockdowns and border closures have loosened up. We've got Corinne on the phone in Manchester, Washington. Corinne, do you have a comment or a question for Hoppe?
I don't have a question. I just wanted to say that I started this trip just as an adventure experience. And I found that what came out for me was that I'm very goal-oriented. And I realized after the first few days that there I am trying to set miles and time. And so I realized that I needed to just enjoy. And so it took me probably close to 2 weeks to get into the mode where I could just enjoy the experience.
Huh. Now, Hoppe, did it take you a while to settle into that sort of proper mindset?
Absolutely. Pretty much like Corinne, it took me 2 weeks to get into my mood of the Camino. And you have to keep on going the first 2 weeks because you're always tempted to give up because you don't feel well.
I never had that sense of wanting to give up. For me, it was like, what would it be like every morning to get up and just start walking without knowing what your destination was, without knowing the terrain, just to have that unknown experience every day. And I found it just to be fabulous.
Now, has that stayed with you, Corinne? Has it been giving you sort of a souvenir that keeps on giving?
You can never get rid of that memory of having that energy flow as you walk the Camino. It's as if you're walking with 2,000 years of energy. And yes, that memory stays with me and the daily experience of enjoying every moment. It's a whole different way of seeing your life.
What a radical way to spend a month on vacation. This is very inspirational. Thank you, Corinne.
You're welcome.
Ellie is on the phone in Seattle, Washington. Ellie, you just did the Camino recently. Tell us about your experience.
Hi. Oh, we went with no expectations at all. We didn't go for spiritual reasons. We went for the adventure. As we kept going along and along with it, I think the spiritual aspect of it came in quite clear. We enjoyed it. It took us 32 days. And by the way, we're seniors. My husband's 70. And I just want to say anyone can go. It doesn't matter what your age is. You know, it was just a wonderful experience. I recommend it for everyone. There's hardly a day that goes by that we don't talk about it, we don't reflect on it, and bore everyone to death with our experience of it. The experience of going into Santiago, the cathedral, it was wonderful. The people we met, the average age, I would say, is 20 to 30 years old. We were definitely the oldest ones on the trail. People got lost. People had hard times. People quit. It was amazing how many young people just walked away from it. And like Corinne says, we didn't even think of giving up. I would have crawled if I would have had to get in to Santiago. It was wonderful.
Did you have some kind of a guidebook? I noticed there were guidebooks printed for
you. Yeah, we did. Actually, it came from England, and it had maps. It was small. We were able to take it in our packs, which, by the way, your packs have to be down to about 10 pounds. And we started sending things home. I gave my sleeping bag away. I mean, you know, you just, every day, that pack was on your back. So You're very conscious of what is in it. So we kind of try to stick to the day schedule, which, by the way, was 15 to 20 miles a day. That's what we averaged. We got up very early in the morning, and away we went. But this book we had was, it was great. It, you know, told about the little villages that we were going into, about the accommodations. Food was wonderful. People were wonderful. The wine was wonderful.
All right. Hey, Ellie, unlike a pilgrimage, we've got a time schedule here, so we've got to run along. Thank you a lot. Okay. Hans-Peter Wilhelm Kerkeling has been making Germans laugh for almost 40 years now.
Hoppe has written a book called I'm Off Then.
A movie about Hoppe's childhood was released in 2018. And in the last year, Hoppe released an album of personal songs called Mal unter uns. By the way, our conversation was recorded before the pandemic.
I want to read an email from Sarah in Boulder, Colorado. Sarah did the Camino with a friend. She said, it only gets better as I look back on it, reading my journal and realizing what I'd learned. At Mass in the Cathedral in Santiago, so many people we'd seen throughout the way appeared once again. I discovered that meeting people who were each so different from all over the world was the best part of the trip. Living simply with few possessions is enlightening. We all want to believe we can keep ourselves safe by surrounding ourselves with all the stuff we need. But when we let that go, we learn that our relationships are the most important. Sarah recommends the Camino to anyone open to the experience of not knowing exactly where the road will lead, but nevertheless willing to follow it wholeheartedly. Hoppe, does that resonate with your experience?
Oh, absolutely. What you really learn is how to get rid of things that bother you and just throw them away simply. Might it be a thought or things in your backpack? And what you learn as well is that you have to find your own pace. And if you want to walk with someone, you have to kind of find out his or her rhythm. And that's a good lesson for life. So that you should respect your own rhythm. And of course, you must respect the pace and rhythm of another person. And that was, for me, one of the best lessons I learned.
Now, you write in your book, Hoppe, that the real Camino starts after you've finished the Camino de Santiago. Exactly what did you mean by that, then?
Well, what I meant by it is that by the walking, you kind of restructure your life. And you take the pattern of the Camino as your own life pattern, the way you have structured every day's walk. Afterwards, you can structure your own life. And if it's quite difficult to explain, because it's a spiritual pattern, which I try to take over. And sometimes you manage better, sometimes you don't. But it keeps you going, and it's something that'll never leave you again. That's what I've experienced.
So the Camino experience several years later is still vivid in your life.
Maybe people who have been on a peak of a mountain, and they might always remember the view they had from there. So this is kind of what you can recall in your mind when you think of the Camino, and all the good emotions and feelings come back to you.
Hoppe Kerkeling, author of I'm Off Then, Losing and Finding Myself on the Camino de Santiago, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Rick.
We have links to Hoppe Kerkeling's website with this week's show at ricksteves.com/radio. At its high desert altitude, the natural light in New Mexico has a way of amplifying the landscape in surprising ways. Up next, Christina Nielsen takes us to some of her favorite sacred places in New Mexico. Her number is 877-333-7425 at Travel with Rick Steves.